14th Sunday, Year B, Ordinary Time. Reading 1. Ezekiel 2:2-5. As the Lord spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard the one who was speaking say to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have revolted against me to this very day. Hard of face and obstinate of heart are they to whom I am sending you. But you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. And whether they heed or resist, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that a prophet has been among them. Reading 2, Second Book of Corinthians 12:7-10. Brothers and sisters, that I, Paul, might not become too elated, because of the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, an angel of Satan, to beat me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I begged the Lord about this, that is, that it might leave me. But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. I would rather boast most gladly of my weaknesses, in order that the power of Christ may dwell with me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and constraints, for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, 1-6a. Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor except in his native place, and among his own kin, and in his own house. So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Theme: Things prevent people from reaching the truth. On the journey to search for truth, people need to know God, others, and themselves. If they only know themselves, they are easy to oppose God and others. They easily oppose others, God, and others. Moreover, when people only know themselves, they can easily be arrogant and insult God and others. Today's readings give us some reasons why people don't believe in God. In the first reading, because of arrogance and rebellion, the Israelites lost the divine way. The prophet Ezekiel was sent by God to lead the Israelites back to him. In the second reading, to prevent Paul's pride, God let him suffer so that he could recognize one important thing. His strength comes from God, who works to improve his weaknesses. In the gospel, though we heard wisdom from Jesus' mouth and witnessed miracles from his hands, though they heard wisdom from Jesus' mouth and witnessed miracles from his hands, Jesus' fellow countrymen, instead of believing him, evaluated him based on his family, his position, and relatives. They insulted and denied believing in him. Analysis reading 1. The Israelites, rebels, have been rebelled against me. They are hard of face and obstinate of heart. The Israelites were called by God a rebellious nation. He described their characteristics to the prophet Ezekiel. Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have revolted against me to this very day. Hard of face and obstinate of heart are they to whom I am sending you. Some characteristics of the rebels are: they don't want to listen to anyone. They take themselves as the standard to judge everyone. They don't want to listen to God or what he tells them or what he has told them through the prophets. They are annoyed when they see others doing things which are different than they do. They do not only believe in Christ, in God, but are annoyed when others believe in him. Because these people disturb their conscience. The Israelites seized and persecuted the prophets because the prophets didn't rebel as they did. Whatever they want, they do. Whatever they want, they do. Like wild horses, they don't want anything to limit their freedom. So they want to do anything they want to do. The author of Psalm 32 described the way to control the rebel. Do not be senseless like horses or mules. With bit and bridle, their temper is curbed, else they will not come to you. The rebels don't want to keep any of the divine or human laws, but they shall not last long because the law shall not tolerate them. They shall not last long because the law does not tolerate them. Even though they may escape human law, they will not avoid God's anger. Prophets are God's instruments to point out their rebellion. God wanted the prophet Ezekiel to courageously say what God wanted. But you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, and whether they heed or resist, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that a prophet has been among them. Prophets can't be afraid of a rebellious group. They must be courageous. They must be courageously accused of their sin. They must be courageous when accused of sins. As God said to Ezekiel in another place, but as for you, son of man, fear neither them nor their words when they contradict you and reject you, and when you sit on scorpions. Neither fear their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. But speak my words to them, whether they heed or resist, for they are rebellious. Reading 2. God's strength is perfectly revealed in human weakness. Sufferings prevent people from being prideful. Suffering prevents people from being full of pride. Before he became Christ's disciple, Paul was an eager and prideful person. He was very proud of his forefathers' tradition and was eager to persecute the believers of Christ. Paul thought he instigated people to oppose the law of the ancestral. Paul thought that he instigated people to oppose the law of the ancestry. To teach Paul a lesson, Christ let him fall down from his horse and was made blind. He revealed to him the danger that would happen to one who keeps raising his feet to trample the pointed. From that time on, Paul kept thinking about his extreme behavior and humbly let Christ guide his life. In today's passage, Paul reported another event which happened to him. Therefore, that I might not become too elated, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, an angel of Satan to beat me, to keep me from being too elated. Through all of his letters, we know that Christ himself appeared many times to Paul and taught him about the main mysteries. Because of Paul's understanding of these mysteries, Satan was jealous with him and slapped his face because he didn't want anyone to understand the mysteries. Moreover, to know the mysteries is easily led. Knowing the mysteries easily led the knower to be elated. We don't know what a thorn in the flesh of Paul means. Some of it is his fleshy temptation. Some said it was his fleshy temptation. Others said it was a serious disease which Paul had to endure. But the important thing that he lets us know is a thorn prevented him from being too elated. Paul recognized that his strength came from God. Through Paul's personal experiences, such as his conversion and a thorn in the flesh, Paul clearly understood his pride and weakness. He knew that if he didn't have God's power, he would have been blind all his life, both physically and spiritually. But because of Christ's love for him, he recovered his sight and understood Christ's important role in God's plan of salvation. In today's passage, due to his eagerness to preach the good news, Paul said, "Three times I begged the Lord about this, that it might leave me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness.'" Many of us have been in Paul's situation. When we were eagerly preaching the good news or doing apostolic works, some bad things have happened to us, such as disease, persecution, misunderstanding, etc. We wanted God to take these obstacles away. We had good intentions so that we could be healthy and continue to serve God and others. But sometimes God has other plans for us. He wants us to slow down, to have time to think more carefully, or he may want us to rest to prepare for a difficult mission. We need to learn a wise lesson. We need to learn a wise lesson as Paul when he said, we need to learn, like Paul, we need to learn a wise lesson when he said, therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and constraints for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When we are at our weakest, God's grace will transform our weakness into strength so that we can clearly see God's grace at work. In our weakness. When we are weak, God's grace will transform it into strength so that we can clearly see God's grace at work. Gospel, why do people refuse to believe in Christ? Christ prepared for his fellow countrymen so they can believe in him. In order to believe in Christ, people need many important factors. Christ prepared for him the following things. One, he gave them an opportunity to encounter him. They didn't go out and look for him, but he came back to Nazareth, his native place. He preached in a synagogue on the Sabbath. Two, he gave them a chance to recognize God's wisdom, which was hidden in him. When Jesus preached in the synagogue, many of them were surprised and cried out, where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? He let them see he had God's power. When they witnessed the miracles which Jesus performed, they were astonished and cried out, what mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? The fellow countrymen didn't recognize Christ. The main reason that led his fellow countrymen to not recognize him is that instead of judging Christ himself, and his words and deeds, they turned around and judged his family. So his fellow countrymen didn't recognize him as being Christ because they judged him based on his family. They said, is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. An example which the Vietnamese have experienced is all the examination of students after 1975. We used to joke with each other, study is based on ability, but examination is on familial background. Because instead of grading exams, the examiners turned around and graded the student's family background. The student's family, the background of the family. If a student was a child of the former government official or a child who belonged to a rich family, the examiners failed him before they graded his work. A prophet isn't respected in his hometown. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house. This is a painful reality. The American people have an adage. Familiarity breeds contempt. The Vietnamese people have a similar adage, "No dog shall lick your face." In his native place, many of us have a tendency to magnify foreigners. For example, whatever belongs to America is good and nice. Whatever belongs to Vietnam is ugly and bad. These people are influenced by fixed ideas because all nations have both good and bad things. Not all Americans are good, and not all Vietnamese are bad. Among his own kin, many evaluated their fellow countrymen by degrees, positions, or properties. Today's passage gives a reason why they insulted Jesus, because they knew his family. A carpenter's son couldn't know that law. A leader who gathered all unknown disciples as Jesus couldn't be famous. In his own house, many of us also have had this experience. We can't understand why when we did to outsider. Many of us have also had this experience. We have given an outsider small things, such as giving them a glass of water, introducing someone for a job, etc. They have remembered and compensated us. But when we do things for our family and we sacrifice for them to the point of death, they are ungrateful to the point of even saying thank you is rare to hear. It is rare to hear a thank you from them. They think we are supposed to do it for them. And Mark concluded, "So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. He went around to the villages in the vicinity teaching." Application in life. We must disregard the arrogant and rebellious attitude because it causes lots of damage to us. In reverse, we must obey God and keep His commandments. We must discard the prideful sense because it deceives us. We should, however, have a humble attitude to recognize our weaknesses and limitations. When we judge, we should judge that event or that person who did that event. Don't judge things or people that aren't related to the event.